Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
News Talk Sunday.
If you remember the Charlton era, the next person I'm going to talk about will be very, very familiar to you. This year's Dublin International Film Festival saw the premiere of The Charlie O'Leary Story. This is a film celebrating the extraordinary, wait for this, 102-year-old life and career of the man who helped build the foundations of modern Irish football, from the street leagues of the East Wall to the glory days of Jack Charlton's Irish team. I'm now joined by the people who put it together, and that's the producer, Fergus Dowd, and also have a former League of Ireland footballer, Martin Lawler, also joining me. Fergus, I'll come to you first. Anyone who was around during the Jack Charlton era and subsequent would know Charlie, a great age, 102, and I suppose his longevity has only added to the legend of the story.
Yeah, good morning. Absolutely. Charlie's an amazing man. I suppose his life really transcends football on the island of Ireland, in that he was born in 1924, and the Free State played their first match in 1924. And obviously, as you say, he formed the Dublin Street Leagues in 1945 as a teenager. And this was obviously before, you know, official schoolboy football in Dublin and across the country. And it led to a host of, you know, footballers going to become professionals in England and in the League of Ireland. People like John Giles, Liam Toohey, Tony Dunn, who won the European Cup with Manchester United. And then obviously he went on to be... he refereed in the street leagues as a teenager, and this led him to become a referee in the League of Ireland for 20 seasons. One of the first FIFA-affiliated referees, which led him to referee behind the Iron Curtain at Camp Nou in Barcelona. And he also refereed great Jack Charlton, who was playing on the great Leeds United team in the 70s. So, obviously, you know, people will... You know, he became kit man in 1986. Jack Charlton remembered him. He actually went in to get a pump in the Irish dressing room when Wales were playing Ireland. He was looking after the Welsh team as an FAI official, and Charlton remembered him and got him involved then for the next match against Uruguay. And as they say, the rest is history. You know, Euro 88, Italia 90, USA 94, he was there. So he was there at the start and he was there at the pinnacle. So, yeah, an incredible man. Sure. On Tuesday night, you know, he was there centre stage, 102 years of age, you know, in Scream 1 in the Lighthouse Cinema, a film about his life.
Martin, you are a former League of Ireland footballer. What's your association with Charlie?
Well, firstly, Emmett, it's an honour to make a small contribution to Charlie's life story. My involvement would have been as a beneficiary of the league, the street leagues that Charlie set up in the mid-40s. I would have played in them, Emmett, in the early to late 60s and early 70s. And they certainly formed a great footballing soccer platform for me to go along and have a modestly successful career. But as a young kid at 10 or 11, Emmett, even then you learned a great sense of community, a great sense of inclusion. There was nothing exclusive. All the kids, all the children on each street got to play. So there was nobody left out, and it was fully inclusive. And that in itself led to the formation of lifelong friendships that still exist today. And that sense of inclusion, and the reason why I say inclusion Not all children at around 10, 11, 12 in East Wall would have been good at soccer. But when you represented your street, everybody played. So you had the kids who weren't so good and the kids who were very good at soccer mixed in together.
Can I also ask you about, there would have been an effective ban at the time by the Catholic Church about playing different sports and so on. And some, there used to be the whole suggestion garrison game and all that sort of stuff. Do you remember any of that? And did that impinge on anyone who was playing in the street leagues you're talking about?
I have to be honest, by the 60s, mid-60s to late-60s when we played, I think that was reducing itself. You heard stories of children who played in the Christian Brothers schools and some of the other schools. Some of them had to make a decision about, if I play soccer, my school might hear about it and I could be punished. But I think it was reducing quite significantly at that stage, Emmett.
And what was Charlie like at that stage? I say 99% of people listening would know him from the Charlton era. That's who they're familiar with. But take us back a little bit before that and kind of sketch a pen portrait of him.
Well, again, Charlie entered the East Wall area from a familial point of view at a very, very young age and grew up literally in East Wall. And everybody knew Charlie from the time you were a child and you started recognising people. Everybody knew Charlie as a kind of a man who fixed things and a man who got things organised, etc., etc. And great respect had always surrounded him from his involvement in community activities. And of course, the man loved soccer. And if you played soccer at all, you got the pat on the head. And if you got the pat on the head from Charlie O'Leary, you were quids in, as it were. So he was a very, very respected person right from his early teenage years. A very pious man. Quite religious, and it was through that affiliation that he came up with the idea. A religious service of old called sodality, featured, and out of that sacrament of sodality, Charlie got the idea of forming the street leagues for each individual street in the area, and they grew and grew and grew.
I suppose it was an astute move by Jack Charlton to take him on, because people kind of forget now, but when Jack Charlton was originally appointed, there was a little bit of resistance. There was sort of a talk about, well, you know, this North of England manager, you know, who was on the 1966 England team, you know, what's he doing coming here to manage the Irish teams? There was a little bit of that kind of in the background. So by bolting on Charlie to his team with his background and lineage, it was probably quite a clever move by Charlton.
It was a very, if you wanted to use the word political, it was a very, very clever move by Jack to pull Charlie. And let's not forget the legendary Mick Bourne also in the capacity as physio. And when you put Charlie and Mick Bourne together, you had the original Batman and Robin. So Mick Bourne and Charlie O'Leary in particular would have created a phenomenally comfortable atmosphere for players, for young players coming into the international scene, for the established players who were there. And they never had to worry about a thing. Charlie and Mick were always there to look after them from every perspective.
Okay, let me bring in our first guest who we lost for a second there, Fergus Dowd, who's the producer of this. Fergus, you've got a good production there. It's been very well received. So is there anything in there, the best story, the best anecdote, the best moment that you'd pick out for us?
I suppose there is...
Don't say all of them.
There's so many different stories in there. I mean, it's sort of, you know, you've got the whole Charlie was very good friends with Liam Whelan, and he sort of talks about the Munich Air disaster and you know, the day that they brought Liam back to Dublin. You know, he cycled out to Home Farms ground where Liam Whelan played, and then obviously cycled back to Cabra You know, so there's a lot in it. There's obviously, I mean, one of the most incredible stories is, you know, when they came back from Euro 88, all the wives were on the bottom of the bus, and Charlie's wife was actually in the crowd. He wasn't aware that, you know, that the wives were going to be on the bus. And, you know, he's having this sort of conversation. He spots his wife in the crowd, and he's having this sort of conversation. She's roaring up to him, what time will you be home for your tea? And he's in this, you know, there's 70,000 people there, you know. So there's that sort of, you know, there's those stories that, like, you're nearly under the skin of the whole thing. But as I say, I think you asked me before about how the film came about. I mean, the film really came about through our experience working on the Dublin Monaghan bombings film. There was a chap called Derek Bourne who was only 14 years of age. He was due to go on trial for Tottenham Hotspur, and he got caught up in the atrocity. But he was the one who told us about the street leagues. And, you know, we went down to Harmanstown where Charlie lives. We were made aware that he had started the street leagues in East Wall in 1945. And, you know, at that stage, this was the summer of 2024, he was 100 years of age, and he gave us a 4-hour interview, you know, about his life. And so basically what we did was, it was to be a film about the street leagues, but we just incorporated the street leagues into his life story. And, you know, here's a man, you know, his achievements, he's involved in probably the greatest time of Irish football, but there's a lot more to it. I mean, a lot of the people who came on Tuesday night, and it was a fantastic night, 90% of them thought it would be a film about the Charlton years, but there's a lot more to it. And the fantastic thing is that we got confirmation yesterday that of a London premiere. So we're going to, the film will be shown in London on the 25th of March in the Irish Culture Centre. Yeah, in Hammersmith, London, the night before the Ireland Czech Republic match. So we have Tom Watt, who played Lofty in EastEnders. He wrote a book on the North Bank Arsenal, and he's going to do the Q&A with Andy Townsend and Niall Quinn. So it should be a fantastic night as well, you know. So
that's an amazing connection
it's sort of a community project that's grown legs, and you know, Charlie was centre stage on Tuesday night, you know, 102 years of age. The Q&A afterwards went on for an hour. You know, he answered every question and spoke to everybody, and, you know, he was centre stage on the red carpet. He's just an incredible person, you know.
Let me just name check some of the players that would have came out of the street leagues later on, and the later version of them. I mean, I'm seeing names like Liam Brady, Johnny Giles, Richard Dunn, Liam Toohey, you've mentioned already. And then at the premiere, you had Paul McGrath and Niall Quinn. So it really gets across, like, we're talking a stellar cast of footballers that have come out of this world.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just down the south. I mean, the street league spread to East Belfast. The ship workers would have, you know, played the street leagues in the north. So you people like, you know, Jimmy McElroy, who has a stand named after him at Turfmore and Burnley. There's Harry Gregg would have played in the street leagues, you know. And then if you move on to the 60s, 70s, you've got the assistant manager of the current Northern Ireland team, Jimmy Nicol, played in Rathcoole. Jerry Armstrong, who scored that famous goal for Northern Ireland in 1982, played in the street leagues. And then if you go across to Donegal, I mean, it was massive in Ballybofey and Letterkenny and Stranalara, which was a garrison town in the 50s. And probably Finn Harps, the football club, came out of that, you know, that era of the, you know, street leagues in Donegal was huge. And this is a county very, you know, with Jim McGuinness, it's very well known GAA county, but the street leagues in the summertime in Donegal were massive. So you've got a huge, you know, plethora of players that came through the street leagues, not just in the south, but also in the north.
Yeah, I suppose the only regrettable part of it all is we don't seem to be producing quite the same level of talent from the world Charlie was from. Now, there's a whole range of complicated factors behind that, but we could do with that sort of energy and that level of participation, I suppose, that we had back then. We don't seem to have it now. Maybe it's to do when they go to England and they don't quite get in there because of competition, Fergus, but wouldn't it be nice if we could tap into the sort of the mood of that era?
Yeah, I think what's happened here is that football has become very structured. You know, years ago, kids used to play in the street, used to play in the park. But nowadays, you have academies, you have all these elite sports people, and, you know, you come at a certain time, you play on Astro, you know, before. Nothing is natural anymore. You know, John Giles told us in the film, like, you know, they used to go out onto the street and they had all they needed was a football and they'd play from dawn to dusk, you know, or dusk to dawn, you know. So, you know, that era is fit, you know, those days of creating street natural ability. I think the last sort of street footballer that came out of Ireland and the UK is Wayne Rooney. You know, he played on the street as a young lad. And, you know, that natural ability that he had came from the streets. You know, Liam Brady as well. But we don't seem to be creating, you know, those players that with that natural ability anymore. You know, but as I say, football has become very, very structured. And as well as that, you know, the Premier League is now a global entity. And, you know, it's very difficult. Only 2% that go across the pond only make it, you know. It's very difficult to make it nowadays because the world has become a very, you know, much smaller place in football terms.
Okay, listen, gents, well done on it. It's called The Charlie O'Leary Story. Fergus Dowd is the producer, and before that you heard talking to me Martin Lawler, who's a former League of Ireland footballer, would be known to a lot of our audience from that world.
News Talk Sunday.